offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center.
Good morning. It is nice to be here again. Thank you for welcoming me. Do you make New Year's resolutions? How many of you made a New Year's resolution? Be honest. Come on. How many have already broken their New Year's resolution? Yeah, I used to make New Year's resolutions, and the normal course of action was that by January 3rd or 4th, it would have been broken. So I quit making New Year's resolutions. Last year, I decided to do something a little different. So I decided to choose a word that I would live by for the year. And I didn't know how I was going to choose this word because there were so many good words that I could use to live by: joy, abundance, compassion. Well, I had received a thank you note from a colleague, and on the front of the note was a beautiful little carved out vision of the word peace. So I decided in 2017 my word would be peace. So I put this card up, and so every morning when I got up, I saw the word. Well, that word kind of chose me. So it's 2018, and I'm wondering, what word am I going to choose for 2018, or what word is going to choose me? And I was a little disappointed in myself because I did a really great job of living the peace word for the first 8 months of the year. Well, we know what happened in September. And so for the last few months of 2017, I didn't live that word so well. So I wanted a word that I would be successful at living. You know, you never want to fail, right? But it was tough. It was really tough, the end of 2017. I don't know what your experience was of Hurricane Irma. I don't know if you've completely recovered, if things are back to normal. But it was tough, and I was really glad to see 2018. So what was my word going to be? Well, one of the tough things in 2017 was my daughter's garage caught on fire while we were there celebrating Thanksgiving. And in the garage was a lot of my stuff, my family heirlooms, my papers, all of my handwritten sermons for the 33 years I was in ministry. They were right there in the fire, right where it started. So I was going through papers trying to see what could be salvaged and what didn't completely burn up. And I came across an article. It was an article I'd written 15 years ago. And it was about a friend of mine who had just died. And you may have heard his name. His name was Rick Husband, and he was a commander of the Columbia Space Shuttle. Well, 15 years ago, Rick and I had been friends since junior high. We'd gone to the same church. We'd been in choir together. We'd done all kinds of things together. But here I am sitting at my computer the morning of February 1st, and I see the reports about the Columbia, and I knew Rick was on it. And I'm sitting in East Texas, and the debris is falling in East Texas. So here is this article that I had written for the church newsletter 15 years ago. It was kind of cathartic for me to talk about my friend Rick, who had gone, a wonderful, faithful man, man of compassion and a very large heart. He had a family, two small children, and his wife. And I remember some of our times together. In high school, we were in choir together, and we got to go to the Vienna, Austria Choir Festival. And we actually won the festival at Salzburg, Austria. We were a great choir, let me tell you, the best in the world. Well, maybe not, but we were the best of the ones that were there at the time. We had been leaders in our youth group together. We would lead, back in the 70s, which I'm dating myself, back in the 70s, you would kind of gather around with your little folk guitars and sing Kumbaya. And can I get some water, please? And Rick and I would there's some here. Thank you. Would lead the singing, and we were officers in the youth group. But then I remembered the high school musicals. We did two musicals when we were in high school. We did Man of La Mancha and Fiddler on the Roof. And in Man of La Mancha, he was Sancho Panza, the one who rode the donkey beside Don Quixote. I was a dungeon prostitute. I don't know. Then the next one was Fiddler on the Roof, and I played a Jewish mama, which someone said there would always be room for a Jewish mama in the play. So there I was, and he played Mottl, the love interest of Zeidel, Tevye's daughter, who was actually being given to another man. And, you know, there's lots of beautiful music in this play. I don't know what's happened to me here. I haven't spoken in a long time. Sunrise, Sunset was sung at every wedding in the 70s and 80s, right? But the song I remember most was one where we were in the bar setting. Of course, I wasn't there because I was a dungeon prostitute. But Rick was there, and they did the dance where the Russians had their arms like this and they had bottles on their heads. And I remember, thank you. I remember Rick actually doing that dance, and he did a great job. And you remember what the song was? Who can remember the song? L'chaim, to life. That is how Rick lived his life. He would lay down when he was in elementary school on the grass in his backyard, look up at the sky and watch the planes go over. And he'd say, one day, I'm going to be an astronaut. And he was. I remember the first day he was in Houston to become an astronaut. My daughter's class was there at NASA. And he agreed to come and give them a private tour. A man of compassion and a large heart. I am so sorry. But he lived his life by scripture. John 10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He lived a life of abundance. Abundance of love, abundance of caring, abundance of giving. Luke 6, give and it will be given to you. They will pour it into your lap, a good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. He gave and he gave and he gave. So here we are. I see this word, L'chaim, to life, a toast to life. Why had this word chosen me? Then I remembered another story, and this word appeared again. I was attending seminary in Fort Worth, and one of my classmates was a Jewish man. His name was Joseph. And he invited me to be a part of the Jewish community quite often. I got to be a part of a Passover Seder, a Hanukkah party, and now I was going to get a new experience. Joseph was getting married. So he invited me to a very traditional Jewish wedding. And I couldn't wait to be a part of his wedding and celebrate this part of his life and to experience what a Jewish wedding was like. Well, it was at this wedding that normally they have the toast, L'chaim, to life. More literally translated, for life, a life of health and wellness. Joseph's father was the first one to offer this toast, and I was standing beside him, and he said a few things about the couple and wishing them to be happy and how proud he was of them. And then he said, L'chaim. And then under his breath, he said, and don't screw it up. If you look back in Deuteronomy, that's kind of what Moses was telling the Israelites one day as he's standing on the mountain. He led them across the desert for 40 years and out of their time of slavery, and most of the first generation that had left Egypt had died off, and they had angered God because they had not trusted, and they had gone back to the ways of the Egyptians, and they were whining and complaining, and God swore to them that they would not see the promised land. And Moses also would not get to enter into the promised land. But God had promised Moses that he could see it, that he would be able to see the land to which they had traveled. So in Deuteronomy, he's standing on this high hill. He's looking over the border into the Canaan land, and Moses is reminding the Hebrews of the past, reminding them of their time in slavery, of their liberation at Passover, of their trek through the desert, and of God's giving the law at Sinai. He reminded them of the Ten Commandments and the 613 other laws that are required in Torah. And now he's entrusting these people who had traveled with him to Joshua. He's encouraging them a life of success in the land that God had given them. So he says to them, you have a choice between life and death. And Moses says, choose life, l'chaim. He tells them in doing so successfully, it's really a simple thing for them. There's three things: the commandments, follow the laws, but love God, obey God, and be faithful. Choose life so that your descendants may live. Or as Joseph's father put it, l'chaim, and don't screw it up. Paul writes to a complaining church in Corinth. They are divided. They are arguing. They are disagreeing on politics, on religion, all kinds of things. They're whining and complaining. Does it sound a little bit like our political climate these days? So he corrects them. He basically says, you've got to choose life or choose death. He says to them, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you are still not ready. You haven't chosen life. He reminds them, it's a choice. Choose life. And I keep going back to l'chaim. Why is this word choosing me in 2018? Because it keeps showing up. You recall that Jesus said the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It wasn't anything new. It's what the Hebrew scriptures had already said, what Moses was reminding his people of, what Paul was telling the church. Choose life. And by you choosing life, you choose life for those you love. There's a story about a rabbi contemporary to Jesus' time. His name is Rabbi Hillel. He was the leader of one of the influential schools of Judaism at the time. And there's a story related to the Jewish Talmud that tells about a Gentile who was curious about Judaism. And if anyone wants to take this challenge, please stand up now. No one? I'm serious. You want to... You might be difficult to do this challenge, I'm sorry, because you have to stand up and stand on one leg. No one want to do it? Okay, stand on one leg. So that's what he tells the Gentile who asked the question about Judaism. He says, stand on one leg. Yes, balance is a problem. And he says to him, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That's the whole Torah. The rest is commentary. Now go and read it. Okay, you have successfully completed the challenge. What is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That's it. Love God with everything that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself, which is everything that you are. So Moses is telling them, just do it. Paul is telling them, just do it. Rabbi Hillel is telling him, just do it. Right. That's easy, right? That's easy in our climate. That's easy with things that are in our lives. I'm going to give you a list. It's my list of the last 4 months of 2017. It's not for you to feel sorry for me or try to help me out or try to fix things. But this was my challenge to live the word peace, which I was not successful in doing. This is what my last 4 months looked like. Hurricane Irma. I evacuated. I left at 4 a.m. on Friday. And 12 hours later, I was in Naples, Florida. I was going to stay there. I found out that would not be a good idea. So I ended up going to Pensacola, stayed there a couple of nights, and found out I wasn't going to be able to go back for a while. So I ended up in Texas with my children and grandchildren, and that was the good part of it. The extra expenses took a toll. I left loved ones here who I did not hear from for 5 days. There were challenges. There was loss of income. There were the extra expenses. I finally returned home, and things are just fine. The apartment was fine. The office was fine. But then there was the loss of financial stability. I was a part of the downsizing at hospice, so I lost my job. My boyfriend sold water sports. How many people were buying water sports after Hurricane Irma? Not many. His son, who also lives with us, lost his job. We had no income for a while. I told you about my trip home at Thanksgiving where my daughter's garage caught on fire. She has 2 sons. They were traumatized by seeing their home. We were actually at my other daughter's house, and someone texted my 16-year-old grandson and said, "Your house is on fire." So this is how we finished our Thanksgiving. My daughter, my middle daughter, who has my 18-month-old grandson, in December had a miscarriage. I have told you about another daughter, and you've prayed for my other daughter who has a drug addiction. She was arrested for felony possession. My father was hospitalized because he fell and had to have a metal ball put in his hip. He hasn't been able to eat solid food for 3 months. My mother has been diagnosed with dementia. I did not live the word peace the last 4 months of 2017, and I was grateful to see 2018. So, L'chaim, why is this word choosing me to life? Life is too tough. How do I live abundant life in the midst of all of this? And live life without screwing it up. Well, choosing life, is part of it is recognizing that I don't have ultimate control over everything. and giving that away and doing the next right thing in the midst of all of that. It's taking responsibility for the things that I have done wrong, where I have not lived in the way that I should. Choosing life means choosing to love myself in spite of those failings, and choosing to love others, even those with whom I disagree. And there are a lot of disagreements these days. So it's choosing to get better rather than to get bitter. And I was on the verge of getting bitter, of saying, I cannot take one more thing. Choosing life means to stop living in the last 4 months of 2017 and taking steps into 2018. Moses says to the Israelites in his toast to life, "For this commandment, which I command you this day, is not too hard for you, not too remote. It's not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up for us and bring it down to us that we may do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea for us and bring it over to us that we may do it?' No, it is very near to you in your mouth, in your heart, and you can do it." On February 1st, 2018, it will be the 15th anniversary of the Columbia shuttle. I want to share with you a portion of the letter that Rick's mother wrote and that was read at his celebration of life. "So for all of you, I have a few requests to ask of you today, requests that I believe Rick would make to you. I request that you keep the circle of family and friendship and community active and alive and strong. I request that you keep that you use your hands and your eyes and ears and brains as a window into your soul, that you take time each day to reach out, to call, to email, to text each other, that you reach out and remember how good a real-time hug feels to give and to receive, that you take time to see the beauty in each day, even when it's cloudy and full of tears, that you actively listen to each other, even when talking is so much easier. I request that you cultivate curiosity, that you take time to think or talk about something new every day. I request that you never lose a sense of gratitude for all of the blessings that we have been given, for all that we have shared, for all that we experience. I request that you love and that you connect to each other, that you take the time to share love, to laugh and be vulnerable and cry, to share all that life brings to the blessing that is life. Here's to life. In the words of Rick's favorite musical, here's to prosperity, our good health and happiness, and most important, to life, l'chaim. L'chaim, l'chaim, to life. Life has a way of confusing us, blessing and bruising us. Drink, l'chaim, to life. God would like us to be joyful, even when our hearts lie panting on the floor. But how much more can we be joyful when there's really something to be joyful for? To us and our good fortune, be happy, be healthy, long life. And if good fortune never comes, here's to whatever comes. Drink, l'chaim, to life." I want to ask you to meditate on these final words with me, on the power of love. Teach us to search for the fine qualities in others, to recognize their immeasurable worth. Teach us to cultivate a love for all your children, for no one is without redeeming value. Let the good in us connect with the good in others. until all the world is transformed through the compelling power of love and life. May we choose life in the year ahead. Choose life. I choose life. L'chaim, and I will do my best not to screw it up. Namaste.